Good morning. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I feel a little bit like a donkey in Shrek. I'm all alone. There's no one here. I'm just abandoned. Okay, so that's just all me today. So, the story is told of a young woman from Independence, Missouri, who was ordering through a Wendy's drive-thru. And as she was waiting for her food, two car lengths past the window, I'm sure we've all been there, she noticed a man with his head buried in his hands sitting near the window. And immediately her heart goes out to him, and she walked into the restaurant to meet him, and it turns out his name is Pops, and he is homeless. He had a broken collarbone, broken ribs, and several other ailments, and as a result from living on the street. And in an instant, she decided to help him, and she got him the help he needed to recover. Afterwards, Pops told her that the day she intervened was the date he had intended to end his own life, and her actions changed that. Today, we have this powerful parable of the Last Judgment as we move all the more closer to school. And as mentioned last week, these preparation Sundays are opportunities for us to learn about the tools we will need in order to grow and strengthen and to journey towards Pascha, and ultimately that we might receive eternal life into God's kingdom. And now, a couple of weeks ago, we were reminded we need prayer and humility. And last week, we recognized the need for repentance, changing one's mind from sin and selfishness to return to God's rule and commandments. And this week, we are given group work. Now, that might be a little bit of an oversimplification, but we're reminded that judgment is coming. And it's important to recognize what Christ says. When he comes in glory, we will face judgment. And to help illustrate this point, we have the comparison of the two groups of people, the sheep and the goats. And hopefully we've heard this parable before. At least if you've been in our church for a year, you've heard it, because we hear it every year on this Sunday. But it's an important gospel for us to remember and to listen to recognize that those who were cast out weren't specifically cast out for doing anything necessarily wrong, but rather what they neglected to do. And we have been instructed many times how we're to treat others in our faith. We can think about all these different examples from the epistles of the New Testament. Like, there's Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And earlier in Matthew 7:12, whatever you want men to do, do also for them, for this is the law and the prophets. Galatians 5:14, the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We could go on and on about these examples, but this should not be any surprise. But what we see today is that our judgment is dependent on how we minister and serve others. And if we enter into this Lent thinking that we just need to pray more or read scripture or really do good at not eating meat, we neglect those around us, we're at risk of being cast out of our Lord's kingdom and his glory. And because we don't know the time and the judgment when this will come, we cannot ignore today's parable. St. John of Kronstadt writes that many of us live as if we don't have to die and give an account of our lives. What does this mean? Doesn't this happen because such people think that all they have to do is repent just before they die and they will receive a full pardon? Of course, God does not turn away those who come at the 11th hour, that is, if they turn to him with all their hearts. However, if your heart was far away from God for the longest part of your life, do you think you will be able to move it toward God to arouse in you a feeling of repentance before you die? And that's striking. How often do we think we'll put this off tomorrow, or I can try harder later, or God may be merciful? Yes, but if we are lax and lazy in our faith and our works now, when the time to prepare is over and we have spent our entire lives putting off God and his commandments, and instead indulging in our own vanities, and how will we know how to make change in the end? St. Basil the Great says, prepare yourselves for your own burial through works of piety. These are an excellent burial garment. Make your departure dressed in the full regalia of your good deeds. And that's meaningful when we think about it. If we're living every moment of our lives having acted in mercy, love, and kindness towards others, it's like we're adorning ourselves in preparation for our end. And because today's lesson is an open book test, we're given examples of how we can act in mercy and piety. And notice how Christ uses a statement, as much as you did it to the least of one of these brethren. My brethren is important. The word brethren, adelphos, in Greek means people belonging to someone. brothers and countrymen, neighbors, family. These are the people Christ is talking about us being in a relational aspect. And so we're really thinking about all the hungry, all the sick, all the things that we hear, the naked, the lonely. We sometimes think about these examples far off and they're abstract. But Christ is talking about my brethren and the people that we come into contact in our daily lives. And Father Tom Hopko, in his book In the Lenten Spring, reminds us that ignorance of others is a consequence of self-love. He says that life is a clash of loves. A person either loves God, and so with God, everyone and everything, for it is impossible to love God and not to love all that God has created, or a person loves himself. And to love oneself does not mean to be aware of one's values and worth before God. Such awareness comes from God. To love oneself sinfully and as a cause of all sin is to live exclusively for oneself and to pursue one's own purposes and aims. It's the ultimate cause of death itself. And so we can put aside ourselves on a daily basis with the people around us that we can come into contact with. And think about all those different opportunities that we may have, like how we may see people in our schools and maybe not necessarily want to sit with the people that no one else sits with, but instead make that opportunity to visit the lonely there. Or how many people in our job might we get so used to maybe judging or kind of shying away for and instead move closer into getting to know and understand. And of course, we have opportunities in our daily living here. We have the homeless ministry here. We have opportunities in our community to kind of reach out and to get in contact with those that might be in need through volunteer work or things like that. But really, what we're talking about is a podvig, or a spiritual work. And today, we have to ask ourselves how we might show love, mercy, and compassion and empathy. And what we recognize is that we don't always do this on purpose, but like the goats, we have a tendency maybe to get into that place of omission. We just forget where we can actually give ourselves more time and more opportunities, and sometimes we even forget how we take things for granted. You know how often it is. In fact, I was just thinking about it this morning. How I forgot to get something through Kroger delivery, so I can just go to Publix and get it later. But we get so used to just having the blessings that we have. We don't forget how many people don't necessarily have these blessings. We overlook the fact that in a recent study, I think it was like 356 million children in our world live on $1.90 a day. And yet we can just go and get a Starbucks when we want. We don't intentionally do this. We don't mean to be ignorant, but it just happens in that daily living unless we become more intentional and thoughtful. And one of the neat ways we did this last year, and we're doing this again this year, is our stay-at-home missions program. And this is something we started last year, and it's an opportunity for us to grow in awareness and how we might help those in need. And this is meant for children and families, but as especially a way for us to put this gospel into our action. But really, everyone can participate. And we handed out this little brochure in Sunday school last week, and I'll have some copies over at the table today. But it has this really wonderful little table of chart, and it gives us an opportunity to kind of think about the blessings that we have that maybe we just don't even recognize as something that we just take for granted, like running water or air conditioning. Of course, in Florida, it's starting to get the need for air conditioning again. But even like something like a window or a lock on our doorknob, a TV, of course, or a tablet or an iPad, or a washer and dryer and things like that. And the idea behind this little tablet is each one of these little things has a little dollar amount. And in that, if you count, and again, we could count like how many windows we have, you know, we can put down for each little thing 50 cents per window. And one of the things that I love about this at the bottom, especially for our children, is that there's a blank spot at the bottom. Because, yeah, sure, windows and tablets are things that we take for granted, but how often do we take for granted squishmallows or Legos or even maybe like pairs of slippers that we have and we just decide we want to wear something, you know, for fun or hair accessories and things like that. And we forget that in the world there are people that don't have these blessings. And so this is an opportunity for us to kind of, during this Lenten season, become more in tune and aware with what we have in blessings and how we can offer ourselves up for this. And so each item has a dollar amount. Go around and count these items, calculate the total, and between now and the end of Lent, which is April 21st, the last Sunday of Lent, For our children, we can collect and bring that in as an offering that we can offer up to those that are in need. And for children, if you don't have the money, great, wonderful. You can work for it. You can put your spiritual work into offering up extra chores and things to do for our ways and to put into time and to effort and to prayer a gift. And so last year we did this for the homeless children in the local area. And this year we're going to focus our funds for Father Simon Menya, who, if we remember, came to visit us last fall. But he really is one who is putting into the work the Gospel of Matthew 25. If you remember, he's a priest in Uganda, and these people have been living in extreme poverty, and they have been thirsty, and so he helped build wells for them to drink. And of course, they're hungry, and so as part of his church community, they give them land to grow crops for themselves. And of course, then they offer up their tithe of land to the church community. But he gives them land so that they don't have to be hungry. And one of the goals that he has now is to build a school now for the children, because in this land of Uganda that had civil war in the 90s, all their parents were children at the time, and they were suddenly lost their schooling. And so they didn't realize the importance of education, so they haven't built the infrastructure. So the church Father Simon's church is building a school so that these parents can send their children. They don't have to walk forever to get to it, but it's in that local area, and they can learn the education that their parents didn't have to hopefully continue to spread this gospel and to help those in need in their local communities as well. So this service project that we'll do over this Lent is not ultimately not just about raising the money, but about organizing and focusing our minds and our lives on how we can live and serve others. And today, remember that salvation is through our neighbor. And we're given that powerful reminder that we will be judged for how we treat those around us, friends, enemies, sick, suffering, hungry, and lonely. And as we draw closer to Lent, we can focus on this more intentionally so that we might grow in love and faith for our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the prayers of our Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us and save us.